here's a challenge that perhaps millions of American families are likely to face over the next several decades. When an elderly loved one needs to find an option for assisted living, how confident can a family be that the medical care will be responsible and sensitive to the family member becoming now a patient in an institution? What kind of medical discretion do doctors and nurses in nursing home facilities have in treating these elderly adults who are technically and legally independent in a lot of cases? When someone is diagnosed with a difficult-to-manage condition such as dementia or Alzheimer's, who controls the care? Is it a collaborative arrangement between family members and medical staff? Do residents get any say? How much variation is there depending on the medical condition of the individual patient? Alison Weingartner discovered these difficult questions in finding an option for her mother with Alzheimer's. She discovered that eventually her mother was being managed with powerful antipsychotic drugs without her consent. She joins us now from north of Boston. Alison, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Also with us is Kay Lazar, a health reporter for the Boston Globe, who's been covering Weingartner's case. She also joins us from the Boston area. Kay, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So, Alison, what were your expectations getting into this situation of finding appropriate care for your mother?
Well, my expectation would be that her emotional and medical challenges would have been taken care of without damaging effects to her health.
Right. And from your perspective, taken care of means that she would be safe and that she would be given medically appropriate treatment. What did you discover that care in the terms of this institution meant?
Well, initially when they had a secure Alzheimer's unit, I was happy with the situation. But what I came to find out was in April of 2007, they began prescribing Seroquel, a very powerful drug, and she was giving 100 milligrams per day for over 3 years. And I was unaware of the effects that Seroquel could have on my mother, including seizures and falling.
Now, it was your impression that this drug was being delivered for a specific medical symptom that she was exhibiting, or were they just using a very powerful drug to try to manage her and control her in the facility?
Well, what was told to me by their in-house physician was that this would quell her agitation, and it would be in her best interest to take this drug. But within a year of taking the drug, in April of 2008, she suffered a seizure, and she had no history of seizures up until that point.
I see. All right. Let's check in with Kay Lazar, health reporter for the Boston Globe. Now, you ran down some of these details originally, and you're familiar with the Ledgewood Rehabilitation and Skilled Nursing Center, where Allison's mother was a resident. First of all, what has the institution's response been to your reporting of this story, and what are the laws and the guidelines in a case like this?
Well, we actually haven't heard from them. We certainly tried to contact them, did contact them several times during our reporting, and they issued just a simple written statement that really essentially said we, you know, care about each of the residents to get best care, and we always seek informed consent before we give antipsychotic drugs. So that's really all we heard, and that's what we put in the paper. The laws require that before an antipsychotic is given to someone who is clearly not capable of making that decision for him or herself, that someone who is their sort of legal guardian, called a healthcare proxy, sign an informed consent, which is what was asked apparently of Allison. But as Allison noted, nothing was really explained to her. So the question is, how informed was that consent?
All right. So you did sign a document, Allison Weingartner, that in theory permitted this treatment. Is that the case?
Well, I initially told Kay that I must have signed it, but I kept very meticulous records. And in going back through my records, I cannot find the document that I signed for this, which is unusual. And when they explained it was for my mother's agitation, they certainly didn't counsel me in any way, shape, or form about the damaging effects that could prevail from the use of Seroquel.
And it sounds as though they did notify you about the possibility of the use of this drug, saying it would reduce her agitation. Is that based on a conversation you had with someone at the facility?
Yes, with the unit nursing manager.
All right. Now, is a conversation like that, Kay Lazar, does that constitute informed consent? Could an institution say, well, we told her all about this?
You know, I'm not a legal expert. I did talk to elder law attorneys, but I think there's actually pending legislation in this state that would require them to give them written information about what the consequences are. But the idea of informed consent is kind of loose because, you know, there is no written document there that says, well, we gave her that Allison can find that said we explained this in detail. And this is not unique to antipsychotic drugs. You can find this throughout medicine where, you know, the question is whether the risks and the benefits were adequately explained to a patient.
Right. And, of course, once someone is in a facility like that, the reality tends to shift. And this gets into a very, it seems to me, emotionally fraught gray area. Maybe it's not so gray, but it's certainly an emotionally fraught area where a facility is likely to say, look, if you want us to manage your relative's care, we have to have a certain amount of autonomy. You can't both have the control that you want if they lived with you and the security that you want if you can control every little bit of the care. Allison, are you asking for too much here? Is this an inherent problem with committing a mother or a loved one to a facility like this?
No, I don't feel that my mother exhibited any kind of violent behavior. She was very docile in terms of being bathed and, you know, all of her behavior. She wasn't aggressive in any way. So I feel it was overkill in her situation and created some really damaging effects for her health.
Okay, Lazar, what do you think the overall health effect takeaway is of the use of antipsychotic drugs in a way that, you know, maybe doesn't have the approval of loved ones and is possibly being used as a way of just managing patients as opposed to very specific responses to medical symptoms?
I think this, why we did this series is we are trying to say to people, this should spark a conversation. There, you should be checking facilities very carefully, talking to the nurse, the director of nursing, all of the administrators, to talk to them about what their philosophy, their approach is, what kind of training they've had, what their track record is, because facilities change. They may be, as Allison discovered, have wonderful philosophies and programs 1 or 2 years, and then they change. So I think bottom line, the takeaway is you need to have a conversation, and you need to keep having that conversation.
And Kay, are institutions inclined to have that conversation? I mean, is this a sort of warm and fuzzy that they want to have necessarily, or they mostly want people to feel fine about their care but stay out of the files?
Oh, I think some really do. I mean, we certainly encountered some that were very good, in fact, had very low numbers. We profiled one on Monday in Littleton, Massachusetts, about 35, 40 miles northwest of Boston, and they are very upfront and very welcome people in, sit down and discuss regularly. I mean, there are many good institutions. We are not trying to say they're all bad.
All right. That's Kay Lazar, health reporter for the Boston Globe. Allison Weingartner, before we go, how have your expectations about what this experience of collaborating on your mother's care with an institution, how has this experience changed based on what you discovered in this disturbing report?
Well, she's in a different facility at this point, and the facility I moved her to after they had broken her hip at Ledgewood slashed this prescription by 90%. Without my asking, and I had asked at Ledgewood for this medication to be reduced on the advice of doctors, and I was overruled. I had no resources when they told me no, they would not reduce it. So now I had a heightened awareness, and when I moved her to Prescott House, where she's been for the past year and a half, their attitude towards medicating patients is quite different.
And so get a second institution, if not a second opinion. Are you a better person to hold an institution accountable?
Much more so than I was in the past because I gained knowledge.
All right, Allison Weingartner. Her mother has Alzheimer's disease, was living in a nursing home that treated her and other residents with antipsychotic drugs, she says, against her informed consent. Kay and Allison, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.